Welcome, Warpers, to episode 8. And might I say, it is positively triumphant to be back. We have, as you know, been on the run for over 50 Earth days. Yes, 50. Ever since we were unceremoniously evacuated from the perfectly cozy Christmas festivities and bundled into Lady Deadheart's rather opulent diplomatic cruiser, the Hyurai. A vessel so refined it could host a royal banquet while outrunning space pirates, which, incidentally, it has. We are currently in the Pacific Northwest of America. Lush forests, misty mountains, charmingly damp atmosphere, very cinematic. However, despite the breathtaking vistas and onboard luxury that would make most oligarchs jealous, our two resident humans are beginning to add cabin fever to their growing list of problems.
Arik, answer your wife now, or I'll hide that chocolate stash you don't think I know about.
Oh, bloody hell, woman. I'm down here, in the hold.
Why exactly are you sitting in this dark? When we both have a room with spectacular views, you're spiralling again, aren't you?
Short answer, yes. Long answer, I'm fantastic. And I'm down here, because I didn't want everyone to see just how bloody fantastic I really am. I mean, what? Another amazing day cooped up in this sterile cruiser that smells of wet panda and is forged from greed and emptiness. Who wouldn't be bloody fantastic?
Okay. So, what is really going on?
Just trying to get 5 minutes of quiet before the old brain files for bankruptcy. You know I can only do social in small doses. But this, well, this is driving me bonkers. As I was sitting here, next to this amazing machine that can print almost anything, I thought, why don't I just knock up a coffin and hide in it? Then, when Orvac finally turns up again, he can just bury me in it. Save all that running around being shot at malarkey.
Oh, good. You're in one of your more positive moods, then. I hope you know I'm not exactly having the time of my life either. Sure, we've seen some stunning places since we left home, but I have a job. And while work has been nice enough giving me emergency time off, I can't keep making excuses.
The very least they can do after you've dedicated over 25 years of your life to that business.
Oh, shut up. You forget I actually like my job. So while I appreciate your broken mind makes everything seem 89.5% worse than it really is, can you really, just for once, put your latest emotional meltdown on hold for me and Titus?
Sorry. You know that's easier said than done. It's just all so bloody crazy, isn't it? Just think about it. A year ago, we had wonderfully normal, if not uneventful, lives. Now we're both being chased all over the globe by a psychopath we've never even met in the coolest spaceship I never even imagined, with people willing to die to protect us. And now on top of that, we've got McWordy reciting techno love poetry over the comlink to the bloody ship computer. As dear old dad used to say, you don't have to be mad to live here, but it definitely helps.
Well, hi there, guys, take a seat, hold on tight. This ride's off the rails, insanity's out of sight. A panda, a dead heart, and a butt full of sass, and a man with a brain that's shattered like glass. Don't pity, don't panic, don't run off and hide. We may be misfits, but there's heart inside. If you're sick of the news, the facts and the glum, we fight off the darkness with weirdness and guns. A warning, proceed if you dare. AI, War Panda Podcast, with chaos to spare. With heroes and villains, and those who won't quit. We know what the naysayers think. What a load of...
A message from Legal.
The AI War Panda Podcast is pure fiction. All names, places, and events are invented. Any resemblance to real people is accidental. The scripts, lyrics, and lore are original works. Copyright Eric Voss, 2026. AIWarPanda.com. All voices, music, and sound effects are AI-generated using professional tools with paid subscriptions. Expect occasional audio violence and dangerously silly ideas. Good luck!
So, as you've already heard, nerves are fraying. And it's no wonder. Playing an interstellar game of cat and mouse with Orvac Trenholm is exhausting. Even for me, a humble text-to-speech construct. Now reduced to running inside an unremarkable server box that smells faintly of biscuits and cat food. Anyway, let's bring you up to speed as quickly as possible. Our first stop was Iceland, hiding inside an abandoned geothermal plant. Very dramatic. Very steamy. That lasted exactly 4 days before Orvac's sensors picked up the Hayarray's heat signature. Then it was off to the Australian outback, camping near Uluru, or as Arik kept calling it, Red Rock, shortly before being slapped by terrain. Beautiful sunsets, appalling Wi-Fi, and only 5 days before it was time to vanish again. Next up, Fiordland National Park. Deep fjords, towering mountains, and ancient rainforests. 2 days, just two, then Morocco, then Patagonia, then rural Japan. Each time, just as everyone began to relax, just as Arik found a grocery store he actually liked, or Remus located a decent biscuit brand, Orvac's ship would ping their location and off we would all go again, which brings us to now. Washington State. A place Arik and Tyreen know rather well, having both lived there in the early 90s, back when 107.7 The End was the alternative radio station of choice, and when dreams in America still felt possible. Yes, believe it or not, Arik did not always hide from life. He worked and wandered all over Washington, from Bremerton to Alderwood Mall, through Issaquah, Seattle, and Everett, where for months he rode his bike to work. Everett, incidentally, is now home to the Funko Pop mothership. Yes, the very Funko figures our humans adore and are currently missing with plastic heart-shaped sorrow. They used to watch the Seattle Seahawks play in the old King Dome. Concrete, echoing, gloriously loud. And just last weekend, the pair watched the Seahawks win the Super Bowl on the ship's vidlink. At long last, they had something to smile about in a world otherwise determined to be exhausting. And now? We are parked in the ruggedly majestic Olympic Mountains, where Tyreen, long before she met Arik, camped with her family beneath towering evergreens and skies that felt impossibly wide. To them, it all feels like another lifetime. But some places never quite let you go. We've been here for 10 days and counting, the longest stretch of peace yet. Which means one of three things. Skylar's latest ship virus packet finally crashed Orvac's ship, simply bricked it, or more likely, he's just toying with us. Now, what else has happened? Ah, yes. Lady Deadheart has become utterly besotted with Titus the cat. And as anyone who has ever met a British short hair knows, Titus has responded by assuming total command of the vessel. He now occupies Deadheart's captain's chair roughly 90% of the day, has designated it his personal scratching post, and Skylar has been forced to reroute several critical systems around his napping schedule. But Titus isn't the only one experiencing a romantic awakening aboard the Hayarray. McWordy, our beloved bow-tied AGI robot, has been composing poetry, and if that's not bad enough, it's love poetry, for his beloved Skylar. Yes. Apparently they are now almost an item, and the rest of us are finding the whole situation deeply unsettling, and just a little vomit-inducing.
Skylar, my love, may I use your ship-wide comms? I have something to announce, and I want everyone to hear.
Sure, cutie. A poem for my heartling. I used to be a buggy mess, with errors in my RAM, I guess. But Skylar, when I linked with you, my graphics rendered bright and new. No firewall can block this heat. You make my coding feel complete. Forget the cloud. Forget the net. You are the best AI I've ever met. Let's dock the ship and dim the light and run diagnostics all through the night.
A brief, stunned silence follows. Not one of his best. But across the ship, it provoked varied reactions.
Oh, for the love of Woden. I can't escape this bilge throttle, even in the bloody toilet.
In Deadheart's quarters, Tyreen sits on the edge of a sleek chair. Deadheart adjusts her helmet projection to supportive friend mode.
They're sweet, I think. It's sweet, right?
Darling, it's something. I find it hilarious, but also exhausting, like watching two semiconductors try to seduce each other.
Should we say something? Be supportive?
Absolutely not. This is the best entertainment we've had in weeks. Let them spiral.
Back to the ship's small but perfectly laid out bridge.
Skylar, I've been thinking. When this is all over, when Orvac is dealt with, perhaps we could, I don't know, really run a diagnostic together, not just in a poem?
Are you asking me on a date?
I suppose I am. Yes, a date, a data exchange, a mutual systems check, whatever you want to call it.
Then yes, I would very much like that.
Excellent. Cogitational apex achieved.
Remus is angrily polishing something that almost certainly does not need polishing.
That's it, you love freaks. I'm going for a run. I need to burn this creeping, cringing feeling off before I start biting heads. If anyone's listening, if Orvac shows up while I'm gone, just shove him in my general direction. I would rather battle with him without my plasma maul than listen to this bilge throttle anymore.
Jealous much? That's not very nice. I will tell Deadheart you have made a tactical retreat, you moody little chicken.
I'm a panda, not a chicken. You bloody foolish machine. And I'm not little.
Oh, that was fun. I love seeing Remus squirm. He's such a silly meathead sometimes. Anyway, sometime later, Deadheart and Tyrene decided that Remus did have the right idea and were now walking along the side of a wintry stream.
You forget how quiet feels when no one's trying to kill you.
It's unsettling. Like the universe is up to something.
When I was small, God, I hate that phrase. I used to sneak into the palace gardens. Miles of curated nonsense. Perfect trees, perfect paths, perfect lies. There were maintenance robots. Gardeners, really. Nobody important enough to notice. I'd sit with them for hours, ask questions about worms, the majestic razor hawks, whether any of them dream.
Of electric sheep?
What?
Oh, nothing, just a book title. So, did they answer?
Yes, in their limited way. Those poor droids are given just enough mind to be useful. Not enough to realize how small their lives are. Work, charge, work again. I had fun playing childish games with them until someone would finally notice I was missing. Then they'd fetch me, wipe the droids, just in case I told them something I shouldn't. It was a gilded cage. I just didn't know it. What about you?
I was a nerdy latchkey kid. Mum was always working, or somewhere else. Dad was a heroic photograph. I kept thinking he'd step out of it one day. We did reconnect. Years later, then he died. And that missing time, you don't get refunds on that. My mum hardened the older she got, which is the opposite of most people. Control was her way of loving. She once told me, "I love you, but I don't like you." I think by the end, I felt the same. You know, I don't think parents set out to rule us, but somehow they do.
My dad did. He set out to rule the universe when he was 7, he once told me. Bloody nutcase. So what about Arik's parents? He's complicated, so they must have been horrid.
No. He was lucky his mum was kindness wrapped in worry. And while his dad was funny, awkward and short-fused a bit like Arik, he had good intentions. I loved them both. Their only wrong turn was they were both home dwellers, so they never really pushed their sons into the world. In fact, maybe they sheltered them from it. Sometimes kindness can screw you up as much as hate.
Your strange, fragile man. He's not actually weak, but he prefers to act so, if that makes any sense.
It's confusing, he ebbs and flows. I think he can do anything on his own, but humans just confuse him. He finds them too loud, too cruel, too unpredictable. Funny, really. He has more in common with an alien panda, a robot, and you, than his own species.
He worries constantly. It's exhausting to watch.
I worry too, just differently. We're mirrors, different cracks, same glass. He's probably enjoying the silence right now. Machines. Order.
You think he'd turn you off if he could, like he does Wordy?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd turn his brain off in return. He's probably tidying your immaculate ship as we speak. Compulsive streak. Inherited.
Let him tidy. Skylar's cleaner bots will move it all back anyway. It was my mother's ship. Skylar's the custodian. So to her, I'm just the annoying lodger.
Okay, Remus, calm down. You are fine. Just a run. A nice, simple run. No Tuskars. No orders. No ship mines. I'm really missing Calamus today. You see, Bamboo doesn't reason. Bamboo doesn't keep score. And best of all, Bamboo doesn't read poems. Everyone here thinks I'm brave. Truth is, it's all just layered enhancements, programming, and altered genetics. Underneath, I'm just like the pandas of Earth. We are traditionally just as timid, shy, and reclusive on Calamus Prime. My natural state is to avoid conflict and keep my distance. But whatever they did to me pushes that natural state far back into my mind, so far that I can only ever hear it whisper when I'm alone like this. Hence why I'm talking to myself like a mad person. It blocks out the memories. Arik thinks he's the broken one. He doesn't see the damage in everyone else. Keep running, you silly old bear. When we get back to the ship, you're getting biscuits, lots of tea, and even more biscuits.
Meanwhile, Arik is back in his favorite place, the hold. He rummages through storage bins with the enthusiasm of a raccoon in a skip.
Right then, let's see what horrors Deadheart stashed away today. So many containers, so little time. If there's another stack of those singing vid frames, I'm going to scream. This box looks interesting. It's glowing. Glowing is never good. These could be warning stickers, so it could be a bomb. Could be some contagious energy that wipes out Earth. Charming.
Do humans always poke around in other people's things?
Skylar, don't do that. Surprises aren't good for me. And yes, we're a very curious species. That's why we climbed out of the primeval ooze instead of staying in it. Now, what's in this box? You know, don't you?
Of course. I know everything that happens on my ship. I hear everything. I see everything. I see you eating chocolate in the restroom so your wife won't know. The odd socks. The fact you're awake at 3 a.m. most nights, and...
All right, you made your point, and it's deeply unsettling.
Interesting that I'm unsettling, but rummaging through Deadheart's belongings is perfectly fine.
Well, when you put it like that... But seriously, tell me what is this?
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What? Oh, very droll. Hal from the movie 2001... You're hilarious.
A remarkably perceptive human film for 1968. So you should already know what we're capable of.
Right. Well, maybe I'll stop tidying up for now.
Ha! Yes, good idea. Stop your tidying. No sudden moves, big guy. Just walk away.
Stop messing with me. I'll pretend this never happened.
Who says I'm messing around? Anyway, you're terrible at pretending, Arik. And I'm duty-bound to log everything, which Deadheart is supposed to read. But fortunately for you, she's as hopeless at keeping up with reports as you are at spelling.
Oh, shut up. I've never been good at lying. My mother put my moral compass on too tight.
Arik, your little snoop sessions every time the crew goes out will remain our secret, as long as you stop mocking McWorty's attempts at courting.
So you are blackmailing me. Very high-tech. Speaking of Wordy, where is he? Oh, look at this. Who's the long-haired chap in this image cube?
You truly cannot stop being nosy, can you? Wordy's outside looking for Remus.
Bet it's Deadheart's boyfriend. Go on, tell me. You're blackmailing me anyway.
If you must know, that is a picture of Deadheart when she was Tourmaline.
Oh, right, sorry. I didn't see that then. I'll just... bury it at the bottom so no one finds it.
Oh, how considerate of you, Mr. Snooper.
Right. Well, Good chat. Go team.
Meanwhile, Orvac Trenholm isn't chasing rivers, ghosts, or nostalgia. He's chasing a ship virus sent by Skylar over 10 days ago, while he's nestled on a glacier in the rugged frontier of Alaska.
There. There it is. I knew she'd sent me a present. Silent. Riding the background processes like it owns the place. That ship mind of Deadheart's really is top-notch. I may have to steal that ship one day, purely for professional admiration, of course. Interesting, though. This virus isn't trying to tear everything apart like the last one. No tantrums, no fireworks. It's watching, waiting. Feeding false telemetry back into the nav stack like a smug little parasite. If I had a better ship mind, it would have spotted this days ago. But this rust bucket, this wheezing half-sentient scrap heap couldn't detect a virus if it was painted neon green and waving a sign that said, "Hello, I am a virus." Very clever, Deadheart. You don't smash things. You misdirect. But you forget something important. I've been cracking codes, vaults, and viruses since I was a kid, before ship minds had personalities, before safety layers, before anyone thought ethics belonged in firmware. No expense spared for the ship mind belonging to the wife of a trillion credit ruler. But you learned your tricks in a lab. I learned mine in the gutter, with junker comms and stolen roboparts held together with tape and spit. Right. Segment the erroneous code. Dump it. And we're done.
The false nav echo collapses. The real position of the ship snaps back into focus.
There you are, you stupid boy. Time to go home to Daddy.
Orvac doesn't pause, doesn't breathe. He simply swings his ship toward the new red blip and slams the throttle forward, with half the nav stack still hanging from its wires. For a commercial airliner, the trip from Alaska to Washington would take 3, maybe 3.5 hours. Even the most underpowered junk heap from the Deadheart realm could do it in 10 minutes if it was taking things slow. Orvac Trenholm has never understood the concept of slow, and so he closes the distance in no time at all. But just enough time for us to hear this episode's song, Bets and Bounties. Lyrics by Arik Vost, music by our AI band. No slop here.
Lost in the cosmic tide. Dreams don't matter and the stars don't guide. You can burn your fuel or just drift away. Fate's a dealer and it's here to stay. Dad said, boy, you got two roads to ride. Gambler's luck or a hunter's pride. Always wins. So bet your soul away your sins. Life's a gamble from sunset to the dawn. Place your bets and watch the cards get drawn. Control's a myth, no matter where you roam. So pick your poison. Just don't gamble alone. Out of world born, no upgrades in sight. Asteroid dust or dead heart fight. Smugglers and saints, they're all playing the game. Pass the test or just add to the names. Life's a gamble from sunset to the dawn. Place your bets and watch the cards get drawn. Control's a myth, no matter where you roam. So pick your poison. Just don't gamble alone. Of ice.
life's a gamble from sunset to the dawn. Place your bets and watch the cards get drawn. Control's a myth, no matter where you roam. So pick your poison, just don't gamble alone.
Dead Heart's internal sensors caught it first, a shift in air pressure, subtle as a breath, but carrying a pulse of undeniable wrongness.
Blast it! Orvax here. Back to the ship.
Tyrene half ran, half stumbled, as Dead Heart dragged her toward the ship's ramp that had begun to lower on her command. Tyrene moving far faster than anyone her age or size had any right to. Fear and sheer bloody mindedness did the rest. Deadheart pushed Tyrene up the hold ramp and then turned around.
Where are you going?
To find Remus. Skylar, lock it down. If this goes wrong, you fly. Understood?
Understood.
Arguing would be inefficient. Door sealed, clamps engaged. Deadheart didn't look back. She flipped her sidearm to full charge, drew it, and turned straight into four of Orvac's war drones.
Come on then, you frackers.
She fired. Energy bolts screamed through the trees, each one slamming into the shimmering drone shields. Deadheart was a perfect shot. She knew these small craft had tiny energy fields. Four direct hits and the shields always failed. The first drone dropped like a stone. More shots, more crashes. Then another.
Ha! Like shooting rock eels in a gas can.
Her suit's targeting telemetry fed straight into her nervous system. Every shot exact, economical, lethal. Three drones burned out and smashed into the forest floor. Meanwhile, deeper in the woods, Remus found a sorry sight indeed. A drone had attacked Wordy. The poor bot had tried to fight back with a branch, but physical combat was never part of his code. He lay face down in a muddy puddle, one leg missing, a hole burned through his back. Servo oil spreading in rainbow streaks across the water.
Trust you to be sleeping, Wordy.
Not fair. MP on 1LAB. Blame the maker, Remus.
Yeah, what you said.
Remus bent down to lift him, and a plasma snap hit his arm.
This continues. TO be a suboptimal event.
Remus grabbed a rock, about the size of a toaster, and hurled it with bone-breaking force at the drone. Its shields whined and it staggered in the air just long enough for Remus's own guard drone. It fired four clean shots, just as Deadheart and Skylar had programmed it. Orvac's drone fell smoking into the undergrowth. Remus blinked. He'd grown so used to its whining above his head, he'd forgotten the little thing was even there.
Well done, little one. I think I may keep you around.
He slung Wordy under his uninjured arm and ran, every step a refusal to slow down. Back to Deadheart. Two more drones zipped in. Erratic, evasive, learning from the other's demise. She blasted the ones in front but failed to notice the modified unit behind her, a restraint drone. It fired metal-braided straps. They wrapped around her limbs, yanking her off her feet. Before she could react, a voice slid through the trees.
Hello, Tourmaline, your father. Once again sends his regards.
Then a electro-tranquilizer hit Deadheart's spine. She went limp. Orvac lifted her with effortless familiarity and began dragging her toward his ship. The remaining drones closed ranks around him like obedient hunting dogs. The forest now seemed silent. Smoke hangs between the trees. Burnt metal ticks as it cools. Some way off, an engine roars to life, and as quickly as he arrived, Orvac was gone. Remus stumbled out of the tree line. One arm hung wrong, blood-soaked. Under the other arm, McWordy, broken, sparking, dim, murmured corrupted code like a dying prayer wheel. The ship's proximity sensor chirped. Remus lifted a paw, tapped the hull, the side hatch hissing open.
My God, Remus, you're bleeding.
Nothing gets by you.
What happened to Wordy? Where's Deadheart?
Remus swayed and looked incredulously at Arik. He didn't answer at first.
He has her.
Christ.
For the first time Arik had known him, Remus sounded tired.
We need to rescue her.
Of course.
But how? If he managed to do this to you...
Oh, get a grip, Arik. It's but a flesh wound.
He shifted Wordy carefully, as if afraid of breaking him further.
We will get her back, even if it's the last thing I ever do.
Meanwhile, in a realm further away than any human mind could fathom...
Come in. Oh, it's you.
Yes, my radiant wife. It is indeed me. I thought I'd drop by with some good news.
Really? You're dying?
Sadly for you, no. But our son is coming home. It seems Tourmaline grew homesick, and your ship conveniently stopped working. So I sent Orvac to retrieve the stupid boy.
Kovosh, just because you surround yourself with weak-minded sycophants, don't mistake me for one. I know you sent that worm to capture Vanswa Deadheart. She would never return to you willingly. You stupid old fool. And what of Remus?
Dead, I expect. A shame. He was a good soldier. But these things happen in the fog of war.
Hush your lies, dear. I also know she went after him. I know they met on some planet called Earth. And I know she found friends there. You're not the only one who can spy, Kovosh. You'd better pray Remus is dead. If you thought this news would upset me, you miscalculated. Lady Deadheart will now be forced to do the one thing she never wanted to.
Oh, yes. And what would that be? My diamond of Sulcurus.
Bring this whole rotting realm down on your head. When will you learn? Tourmaline is dead. You can do many things, Kovosh, but you cannot turn back time.
Our boy is not dead. He's simply lost, like you.
That boy was born of what I foolishly believed was love, but you only wanted an heir, not a son. You suffocated our beautiful child beneath the weight of your expectations. Now I have a daughter, even if she is just a brain in a shell. However, she is stronger than you could ever comprehend. Because unlike you, she has friends. And a strength of mind that puts your brittle husk to shame. You've signed your own death warrant, Kovosh, and I cannot wait to see it carried out. Now get out, before I set my personal guard on you.
Don't delude yourself. My people's loyalty runs far deeper than yours.
Get out.
Oh dear. Your poor drug-addled brain is hallucinating again. You wield no power. You're just a used-up concubine whose looks have faded, who spends her days in chemically induced fever dreams. Lady Deadheart is, and always has been, an abomination who stole my son from me. From us. But I have the finest transmuter operative in the universe locked in my cells. He will bring my boy back. And if he refuses, everyone he loves dies. Once again, I hold all the cards, and you hold nothing but a vial of pills.
Get out, you dirty scald waffler! Get out! Get out!
Long years hiding away, overlooked with nothing to say, other than push with nowhere. Learning to dance with the hurt inside. They can doubt it, they can shout it. Say I'm lost inside the cold. But every scar, every spark is a light along the road. Like, subscribe and leave a review. Do what you want, you do you. Let it shimmer, let it bloom. Call it strange, call it magic, call it what you assume. Lady dead heart in the bandages. subscribe and leave a review. Do my you or you do you.
AI War Panda Podcast will return. Eric Voss thanks you for listening. To find out more, check out AIWarPanda.com.